You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have to say what I feel. Miami has so much appeal. A great place to get a seafood meal.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2015.
Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you will ever need to listen to. I'm H. Allen Scott.
And I'm Carrie Doherty.
And this is the podcast where we have a buddy over to watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we chat about it.
Yep, and we just watched season 1, episode 19, which is called Adult Education, which aired February 22nd, 1986.
Oy! Ugh. I was 4.
I was also 4.
Yeah. Wow. We have a very, very special guest with us today. She's a wonderful friend of mine. I've known her for a long time, it feels like.
Yeah.
And she's amazing, guys. Welcome, Jamie Lee.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, you're the best.
You're the best.
No, you're the best.
Yeah.
She's engaged.
I am telling everyone.
I have every time. I just have to tell everyone now.
Oh, yes.
When she walked in, I'm talking to the world. When she walked in, I was like, guys, she's engaged.
Aww.
Do you just like flash, like, do you do that? Do you like announce your engagement?
I did like right after it happened. It was like, yeah. Well, it's weird because like when you first get engaged, you do feel this pressure of like, okay, how are we going to like let everybody know? Because there's like letting your family know and making sure that like some people you can text and it's not rude, but then other people it's like, how dare you text me? How would you not call? And like, you kind of have to like go through
this weird
political like filtration system of how to deal with people and telling them.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole like social media component. I actually didn't post it on social media right away. I felt really icky about it.
Yeah.
Just because I was like,
did anyone respond weirdly? Did any ex-boyfriend respond weirdly?
No, but then like, they're like weird. I like, because I'm on girl code, so I get some of these like MTV teens.
Yeah.
And some guy was like, no!
Oh, no.
That's
cute. No! And I was like, it would never happen. Like, you're 6.
I bet that he thought that if he, like, just made a video and sent it to you, like, you would go to prom with him.
Yeah, maybe.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that was cute. Yeah.
So, we ask every guest their relationship with the Golden Girls or their history with the Golden Girls. What's yours?
I have a very specific memory. It's really lovely. My grandmother just passed away in November, and I know, sorry to bring it down, but there's a really lovely memory of being in her house in Teaneck, New Jersey, when I was maybe 14 years old, and I was sitting on the couch with her and my aunt and my mom, and we were just, like, watching reruns of it.
Aww.
It just happened to be on TV, and everyone was dying. Like, it didn't matter if you were, you know, a sarcastic 14-year-old who's, like, too cool for school, or my grandmother. Everyone was just, like, on the same page. So,
that's so sweet.
I have, like, a very, very nice memory of it.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll get into the episode. This was a great episode. I'm so glad you were here for this one.
Great episode.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's definitely a powerful Blanche, you know.
Double up on powerful Blanche. The last episode was a Blanche engagement episode. Like, Blanche is, like, getting it this
She's
season.
Getting her storylines this season.
Yeah. Wow.
She's so fantastic.
She's amazing. She, like I said during the episode, she reminds me of my grandmother. Just in the way she, I mean, in a way how sexual she is, but because my grandma, because my grandma was very, like, like, she was, I don't know, she just was very forward with everything, and she was very in charge of herself and her mind and her body and everything, and she would wear anything, and it's just, she reminds me a lot of my grandma.
The thing I love about Blanche, too, is I love that she she really solidifies that, like, you can focus on my age, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Like, yeah. It's very empowering. Yeah. She's a very empowering character.
And mm-hmm. that haircut. Who knew she was setting trends for lesbians for years
to come? Yeah, her hair is so pretty amazing.
I always wonder, how do you accomplish that texture where it's, like, really poofy but kind of curly, but you can also see the individual pieces.
It's layered
It looks it sort of has, like, a reptilian
kind of It's almost like scale.
Yeah, I agree. She's just fascinating.
I agree. The episode, it actually starts with, Dorothy is on the phone. She's been on hold forever trying to get tickets to see Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. Who I swore was dead.
Forever.
When he was alive, he was dead. I feel like Frank Sinatra in my mind was alive from like 1946 to like 1960, and then he was just done. he was just like a really famous baby with a very deep
voice. Maybe this is just something I saw on Saturday Night Live in the early 90s, but, like, I remember Frank Sinatra had a duets album or something, and Sinead O'Connor, he got pissed off at Sinead O'Connor or something.
Maybe that was just
an SNL sketch with, what's her name? She just recently passed away. She plays Sinead. Yes.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah. She was on Designing Women later in the season. Why am I blanking on her name?
Janet Farr.
I forget. Anyway, we'll Google it. But she played Sinead O'Connor and was incredible. And that's how I remember Frank Sinatra.
Dixie Carter?
No. She was much later in the seasons. It's okay.
Why did I say Dixie Carter?
It's Jan something. Oh, yeah. Jan Hooks. God, that's
I said Janet Varney. Who's Janet Varney? I feel like
you were thinking of Jim Varney, who's Ernest.
Maybe. Yeah. Janet Varney.
He died of lung cancer.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Janet Varney just sounds like someone who works at BuzzFeed. It's like everyone at BuzzFeed is named Janet Varney.
Yeah. Guys, I Googled it, by the way. Sinatra died in 98. So
who did?
Sinatra died in 98.
Wow. What?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. He was alive when we were alive.
What are we talking about? Yeah. How is that possible?
Yeah.
I know. I mean...
I don't know.
Yeah, apparently he was a dick.
Let's not... You know what? He's not here to defend himself. Let's not pick on Mickey Bum Blue Eyes.
Okay, we'll move on.
Okay.
So Blanche comes in to the kitchen in, like, the weirdest kind of exposition. It just makes no sense. So she failed a psychology exam because now she's taking classes.
To get a promotion at her museum job.
At her museum job, which we don't really know what she does. We know that she's like a party planner in some way.
Yeah.
But why do you need to have a psychology degree to get a promotion at a museum?
Maybe it wasn't a psychology degree. It was just like a class she had to take in order to graduate.
Because she doesn't say it at the beginning, but she does say it later that she needs to graduate.
Yeah. She needs to graduate, so this is like her last requirement.
Exactly.
Yeah. But they don't say that.
That did not feel established. Yeah.
You had a really funny thing about a promotion.
When she was talking about the promotion at the museum. Because, like, how do you go up from wherever you are?
Like, other than being, like, the boss of the museum,
or the
what
owner,
else is there?
Like, I don't know.
Like, well, maybe it's, like, an accounts thing. So it's, like, before she was in charge of, like, the mayonnaise. And now she's in charge of the Monets because they're a little bit more priceless. I don't know. Like, maybe it's... She's just in charge of more... No, not mayonnaise.
That's what I was thinking.
No, mayonnaise.
Like sandwich.
I just really think at, like, a museum, I feel like there's, like, the security guards, and then everyone else is a volunteer, and then there's, like, one person who does, like, events.
Yeah, I had this neighbor who's a docent, and he, like, is a docent in LACMA or whatever, and he just gives tours around LACMA because he knows a lot about art, but totally for free, volunteer basis.
P.S. guys, if you haven't seen the Hollywood costume exhibit at LACMA, it's been up for a while, but go see it. Meryl Streep has an entire section. She's the only person there that has her own section.
As she
really?
Should.
Oh, yeah.
Does
she
it have stuff
museum.
From Death? Postcards from the... Not postcards. Death Becomes Her?
No.
Oh, my God.
No. They did a lot of
with the hole in the thing.
Oh, I know. I know, you guys. No, it was like a lot of her more serious roles, you know, but fine. So Blanche is stressed out. She's not...
Blanche is stressed out about the thing, but Dorothy has a line that is I've seen everywhere in GIFs. Like, it is, like, a major GIF where she's on the phone and she says, "No, I will not have a nice day." And she's just on the phone doing a thing. And that's one of my favorite.
It's so funny because it's not a joke, but it gets a huge laugh.
And it's her. It's totally her. Like, of course she's going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much in sitcom acting that's fascinating to me where, like, you imagine what the script must have looked like on the page, and sure, there are some things that will, like, pop out as, like, oh, that's a funny joke, but for the most part, it really is sold by the actor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've been rewatching Friends, sorry to derail to
no, that's
show,
I've also been rewatching
but I've been
Friends.
Rewatching Friends, and I'm like, that line wasn't funny, but he made it funny.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's so much work on the part of the actor to make that stuff pop.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I have, like, a newfound appreciation.
It's like this beautiful mix of the two, writing and acting, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, you can't, because it has to be great writing
right,
in order for
of
them
course.
To get it. But, like...
But does the writer know... The writer couldn't possibly anticipate how awesome they're going to deliver it.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess the director is kind of being like, say it like this. I'm sure that does happen.
Sure.
But
there's an element of that.
Oh,
of course. Like,
I mean, it's
you know,
just
any,
huge.
Any of Rose's stories, like, she has this great interview, I forget where, but she was talking about how she was struggling to find Rose's voice and her response to things, and what and the director, I think Terry Hughes, said early on.
R.J. Sandridge.
Maybe,
one of,
I forget, but she said... he said to her, just imagine Rose taking everything literally. Like, every comment
that she doesn't understand sarcasm.
She doesn't get it. She just responds. So, like, to her, like, everything is literal. So even, like, a sarcastic joke is like, well, why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It's a, and it's true. Like, that little piece of direction defined how this actress takes every single line.
Yeah.
Even
that's
the simple
so interesting.
One.
Yeah.
And it's, and it was a really great thing to have discovered.
Yeah.
So we have Dorothy who's pissed that the Frank Sinatra tickets are sold out and she's been on the phone forever.
Ever.
Which I feel like to these days is akin to, like, when you, like, go on, like, the, you know, the website and the tickets have sold out within 3 seconds and then you have to go on StubHub.
You're still, I'm still on hold. I was on hold the other day calling TurboTax.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And they even have a callback feature, but still I was on hold.
Oh, that's poopy.
So it hasn't gone away. It's just on a cell phone.
Oh, yeah,
sure. The hold music?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
Let's see what else happens. We get so Blanche is trying to study for her quiz, but she's so worried that she's not going to be able to pass. And so Rose is trying to quiz her, and Blanche is like, "No, you know what? I'm not going to study. I'm just going to, like, go down to the Rusty Anchor or whatever." And then Rose and Dorothy start treating Blanche like a child. They're like, "No, young lady, you're going to sit. You're going to study." And
Dorothy, meanwhile, has been trying to get tickets to the Frank Sinatra show somehow. She's
been
dealing with scalpers. She's been talking with everybody.
Yep.
Like, she's just been everywhere trying to, because it's, to her, like, she really wanted to see Frank Sinatra, and she had tickets previously. Stan, her ex-husband, had bought her tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But he had said he was leaving her, like, 2 weeks before the concert or something.
Yeah.
They, never
they got divorced.
Yeah.
She got the house and kids, and he got the tickets.
Yes. Yeah. So...
I just love that, like, they're, like, you know, I don't know, I just feel like they're, what, in their 50s or 60s,
mm-hmm.
and I'm, like, 30, and I just, like, I would never put in that much effort to, like, see any band ever.
Yeah.
And they're, like, in their 60s, and they're, like, we are going to that concert. Like, it's so youthful.
And she's gonna go to Scalper, too.
Yeah, I mean, she's, like, pulling some, like she's pulling the moves I did when I was, like, 15.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Oh.
You hate live music?
Yeah, I
like,
really do.
Like, all live music?
Well,
yeah,
let's talk about that. That's fascinating.
I
hate elements of it, but I want to hear what you...
I've never been able... Every time I've tried over the years, it's like me getting into olives or mushrooms. I just can't do it. Like, it's... I go to a concert, and I'm just like, it's loud. There are lots of people around.
Yeah.
And, like, I could... get this from a CD.
Right.
But
you have that?
Yeah.
But have you... See, I also don't like places where, like, you have to stand for the whole show, and when it's really loud, you're really far away. I like intimate shows where, like, I used to go to Rockwood Music Hall in New York City, and that's very small. Like, you could hear a pin drop in Rockwood. It's just people sitting, drinking wine,
that's
enjoying
lovely.
Music.
Totally.
And
I
it's
had
wonderful.
That. And I had that with, like, the... Beyonce played... What in New York? Small ballroom.
Bowery Ballroom?
I think so, yeah.
Beyonce played Bowery Ballroom?
Like, it was during her... maybe it wasn't that. It was in Midtown.
Hammerstein?
It was in
Roseland?
Maybe. Roseland,
yes. Yeah.
And she played Roseland. And it was a small venue.
Yeah,
you know
it is
what
small.
I mean? And I still hated it. I love her. And I still was like, I just want to be home. There's only people around. My arms are tired. And, like,
I just
don't enjoy it. It's... Yeah.
Yeah. I used to really, like, pursue seeing live music. And now I'm just like...
Isn't your parent? Your dad?
Yeah, both my parents, they had a concert promoting business when I was growing up. Yeah, they owned venues in Dallas, and did a lot of I went to a lot of concerts when I was a kid, and I'm now just kind of like, it's funny because I used to, so I went to,
I know that.
I know, it was really good.
Yeah.
I grew up, so I went to this arts magnet high school, and there were like four different clusters. It was like visual art, theater, music, and dance. And all of the, for the most part, all the music kids at the school were really into jazz. Like, there was a lot of like jazz quartets and jazz trio, and I just kind of like hated jazz. I was like, oh, it's so bad. Like, where are the lyrics? Like, yeah. I just never got into it. And then like years later, so many years later, I went to a jazz club with my aunt just to, like, appease her. It was, like, something she wanted to do, like, just the two of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is straight up lovely.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you could hear her, mm-hmm. the music was good. Like, it's all about ambiance now.
Yeah,
like,
it really
is. I don't want to be, like, I don't want to be, like, overwhelmed by sound.
Yeah.
I just want to, like,
I totally want to enjoy that.
People and then have the music there also. Like, background music used to be lame, and now I'm like, oh, no, it's the best.
No,
like,
so
elevator music, perfect level.
Best.
Perfect
Half
level.
My vinyl is, like, elevator music and show tunes.
Totally. Totally get it.
So,
Dorothy's trying to get the tickets. Studying for the test.
Dorothy convinces Blanche that she needs to talk to her teacher because Dorothy tells her the story about when she was younger, she had a speech impediment, and she says, you know, it's easier for kids these days. They have Barbara Walters to look up to.
Yeah, great line.
Yeah. And she says, you know, she had the speech impediment. She talked to her teacher, made everything better. And then as she's getting up and leaving the room, you know, they're like, whatever happened to your teacher? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I heard she got married, opened a bed and breakfast in Rhode Island. And then she does the classic stop and turn around in the doorway. Yeah. I mean, Rhode Island.
I mean, this episode really is all about Blanche.
And it is all about Blanche.
Yeah.
So she does. She goes to her professor. At this point now, she's failed her midterm exam.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, basically, like, I'm having trouble. Can you give me help? And he starts making, you know, he kind of leans on the edge of the desk, you know, like.
Played by Jerry Harden.
Who
is still alive.
Oh, good for him.
That's all
amazing.
We can say about him. I mean, he's a character actor. He was in a bunch of movies.
Mm. Sure.
Yeah.
Made me so uncomfortable. Like, it's just funny. I'm in this mode of, like, that guy, like, so he's coming on to Blanche, who's, like, a total 10. Like, mm-hmm. she's so wonderful in every way. And then he's just, like, this schlubby idiot.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I could get Blanche. It's like, how the hell do you think you're going to get Blanche? Like, that's, I'm sorry, but that's such, like, just, like, straight white man confidence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's infuriating sometimes.
Most of the time. I'm even infuriated.
Yeah,
it
is.
I don't even get it.
Most of the time. I'm like, where do you get that?
I know. I mean, I wish I did, actually.
And I think, too, is in the scene, Jamie, that you point out, she's actually wearing a sweater.
Oh, she's wearing a pink sweater with a sort of, like, aqua sweater around her shoulders. Because I feel like with the Golden Girls, like, every scene, they just want you to know that, like, something flamingo-related is in the room.
Yes.
I mean, she'd fit in perfect in, like, an American Apparel ad for, like, senior ladies.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, she's wearing the colors of her bedroom, which is really interesting. Because those are the same exact
colors. She brings a piece of home with her everywhere she goes.
So he's basically, he's making these suggestive comments, and she's not quite picking up on it yet, which I thought was interesting because I feel like Blanche is always very aware of anything that's, like, sexual. You know, like,
she's focused on her education.
Maybe she's focused on also, like, you would think that there would be a separation between, like, student-teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe she wasn't trained to be like, oh, this guy is, like, tangible in that way.
And there are also moments where, like, Blanche is very, she can definitely compartmentalize her sexual life and when it needs to be real.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she's always kind of demonstrated that. So
Right.
You know.
So, yeah, it's not till he, you know, he's like, you know, I could give you my home number, you could call me, I could help you, and she's like, okay, and then he takes her hand, and that's when she's like, oh.
You know,
she
I had a teacher once, not sexually harassed me, I wish, had a teacher give me her home phone number. She gave it at, like, first day, it was, like, eighth grade, and she gave out her home phone number, saying, like, if you guys are ever, because her son, I think, had passed away in a car crash, drunk driving. She gave out her home phone number, be like, if you guys are ever need
so
anything.
Nice.
I know, it was so nice, but I also was like,
yeah, it was
like,
super strange.
That's weird to
me.
Like, it felt very strange in April.
I feel like you get it in the directory.
Yes.
Like, the school directory.
Yeah.
That's, like,
yeah.
the official, like, you see it in print. But to have it just, like,
jotted
down. Yes.
Going through, like, the paperback stapled sort of, like,
oh
things
my God.
Highlighting all your friends.
Yeah, or, like, your crushes. Just being like, oh my God, I can't believe I have
their number. Did you color code, too?
I didn't color code, but I definitely did some, like, you know, stars and...
See, I did yellow for everyone I talked to, green for all my
crushes,
and pink for the people I
hate. Whoa, you're so organized.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, mine was just, like, a mess. I mostly just, like, doodled on it when I was on the phone.
Can we talk about the scene where Rose brings in, I don't know if you guys did this when you were kids, but my mom used to do it. She brings in green Jell-O that she's made in wine glasses.
Yeah.
Like, my mom used to make pudding and Jell-O in wine glasses and, like, top them with whipped cream, and then we would eat it with a
spoon.
That's
so fun.
My mom would always put fruit and shit in Jell-O, and that pissed me off to no end. I do not want anything in my Jell-O.
That's what Rose does. Sophia says, if God wanted peaches to suspend in midair, he would have filled them with helium.
It's true.
Which I think is a very valid point.
So good.
Jell-O is delicious, though.
I've still never had... I've had Jell-O shots, but I've never just eaten Jell-O for the sake of eating Jell-O. There was a cafeteria that I went to a lot as a kid in Dallas. I think it's still there. It's called the Highland Park Cafeteria. It's been there literally, like, since Dallas began. Wow. Like, it's super old.
Since Kennedy was shot.
Since, yes. And probably, actually. But, yeah, and every time I would go in, I was, like, with my babysitter... And she'd be like, what kind of dessert do you want? And I was like, green Jell-O. And I was obsessed with just the look of green Jell-O. Like, it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And then it ended up just being like, I wouldn't want to touch it. I would order it, and then I would never eat it. And she still would order it for me every time.
Wow.
Because I was like, this time I'm gonna eat it. I was like really convincing. I was like, no, like, this time's different.
Did they put whipped cream on top of it?
They didn't. No, it's just pure.
Because some people do that.
It was in like cubes.
That pisses me off.
It was in like little cubes, and they were all like on top of each other, and they were in like a wine glass.
See, now Jell-O to me is like the perfect thing to have when you're sick, because it's like cold,
down
your throat, it's really nice and everything. The problem is, though, like, it turns your tongue all the different colors, and it has this weird sort of, I mean, my family would always sneak in sugar-free shit, so it would have this weird
mine
aspartame.
Too.
What is that?
Oh my god, all the time, and I was like, this is not good, but I'm told it's dessert, but it's nasty.
It's not.
No.
It's like aspartame dessert.
Right.
It's gross. It's totally gross.
Well, we were talking about that too, it's just funny in the Golden Girls how, like, they're just straight up eating Jell-O. It's like no one has that as a snack anymore over the age of like 7.
Not even 7.
No.
No
adult is just like loving Jell-O unless they're in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Even then I feel like they don't give it to you in the hospital anymore, because it's like I don't know.
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's like
pudding.
Yeah,
pudding sure.
Is good.
Yeah, pudding is good. It's filling and it's creamy. There's like a satisfying, but I feel like Jell-O is just not.
Carrie's having a...
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm sick. I'm dying.
Oh, no.
Do you want a cough drop?
I'll take a cough drop.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, well, let's, we still have so much of the episode. Let's just plow through. So Dorothy was unable to get the tickets to the Frank Sinatra concert. She's still determined. Blanche comes home and tells the girls that she's devastated, just devastated, that her teacher... Thank you for the cough drop. I feel like I'm ruining the podcast right now.
No, you're not. This is them experiencing our life as a podcast.
I know. This is real life, guys. I have been sick for a week. Now it's going to sound like 2 weeks, because we record more than one at a time.
She's dying.
No, I'm fine. I might have chronic fatigue syndrome. So Blanche is basically like, what do I do? My teacher wants me to sleep. What do I do? Although there is a funny moment where they ask her, what will you do? Or what did you say when your teacher hit on you? And she said, I marched up to him, looked him straight in the eye and said, I'll think about it. Which I was like, all right, that's the Blanche for you.
Now, they're in the kitchen at this moment, right?
They're in the living room. They're in the kitchen.
No, they're in the kitchen. Yeah, and then Dorothy comes back, and she... Rose is telling Dorothy about how she got tickets to Frank Sinatra.
No, that's not yet.
That's not yet.
No, this is when Rose tells the story about the ice cream man.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rose is telling a story about how she was sexually harassed, sort of. How did she say it?
Well, yeah, she wouldn't, back in St. Olaf, there was an ice cream...
A soda jerk
who, when she would order a banana split, I think he would form the banana and the scoops of ice cream in a, you know, a dick and balls kind of way.
Amazing.
And she would, and again, it's one of her, like, long, drawn-out stories, and she would, try to run home to show her parents the evidence, but,
it would always melt
on the way home. It's just like a really funny story, which also is like a weird, because there is an episode where Rose gets touched by her dentist.
Amazing episode.
When she's under anesthesia.
I feel like I remember that.
I still think about that every time I'm at the dentist.
Oh.
No one's ever sexually harassed
me. Well, how do you know?
Because I've never been put under at the dentist.
Oh, okay. You've never gotten your wisdom teeth taken out?
I did, but I was awake. Oh, they were just like, put under, and because I'm a man. Mm-hmm.
Well.
No, so, they're in the kitchen. They're talking about Rose's experience of being sexually harassed. Dorothy talks... Did Dorothy talk about her being sexually harassed? Yes.
Yeah, it was by a principal.
So everybody's been sexually harassed.
Everyone's been sexually harassed, but Dorothy's was the weird one because she talks about being sexually harassed, and then she finds out years later, she reported the guy to the Board of Education,
right.
And then she finds out years later that she was the only one that was sexually harassed while the guy was wearing high heels and a corset.
In a corset.
Which,
such an odd detail.
How in that situation did she encounter him in high heels and a corset without noticing he was in high heels and a corset?
Right. I think it was more like she found out he, I think, sexually harassed her while wearing high heels and a corset, but that should have been the main part of the story.
See, I imagine
like, what is that all about? But then later, she heard from other women that they were also harassed, but none of them,
right.
He was always never wearing a high heel. It was the weirdest
joke. It was really a weird joke.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
I imagine her, like, going into the gym auditorium to just shoot some hoops, you know.
Sure.
And the principal walks out, and she, like, she's shooting the hoops, and she's alone, you know, and then she hears this, like, click, click,
oh
click, and she
God.
Turns around, and it's, like, the principal in a corset and high heels.
It's so bizarre.
And, then she's like, no! But then she remembers her brother and how he's a cross-dresser.
Yeah, although, no, she doesn't mention this in the episode.
No.
But we do know this already.
I just know this about
yes.
her. Yes.
so then Blanche then goes to the principal of the school.
Oh, and I have to talk about this guy. So this guy, he looks like, what's his name? Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett Show.
Uh-huh.
But he's not Tim Conway. His name is James Staley. And I looked his bio up. He hasn't really done... He's a character actor.
Okay.
But his bio... It's so funny to me, because you can tell that either he, or maybe he just said it to his wife, and his wife typed it out for him. James Staley is happily retired from acting, capitalized acting,
weird.
But still appears occasionally in TV commercials, also capitalized
oh.
commercials. He is very grateful for the great adventure the performing arts, capitalized, provided him. He has been an Emmy judge, don't know what that is, I believe a voter.
Yeah.
Anybody that's in the Guild a voter?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
In the last 25 years, and is active with his two sons and their families. He and his wife, Barbara, will celebrate the 44th anniversary. This is an IMDb profile. In 2012. Favorite pursuits include hiking in Alaska, Utah, and a 7-day trek through the Andes to Machu Picchu in Peru.
Wow. His wife was like, I don't, like, you better become an accountant. I don't want you doing this, like, unstable acting shit. And then she just, like, updated his,
yep.
his bio. And she's like, he is very happy. He's home a lot. Things are better. The kids, like, know their dad now. Like, everything is just a lot more cohesive.
We're a unit.
Yeah, we're a unit now. We went to Machu Picchu. We're getting the pictures back soon. There was a problem getting them developed, but I think we're going to put them on Snapfish. And, like, what?
That is exactly what happened.
That's, like, the funniest thing ever. Yes.
Like, she probably just, like, thought, like, she was, like, in Gmail, and she was, like, sending an email to the family, but instead she just ended up, like,
updated his IMDb.
Just updated his IMDb.
I imagine her getting really stressed out and trying to figure out Wikipedia.
Yeah. She'll get it.
God.
Oh,
but in this episode...
Also, it's a little bit of a dating profile. She's like, interests include...
Yeah.
Hiking. Long walks on the beach.
Muscle up.
Feeling our feelings.
It's amazing. So we stopped acting in 1996. Anyway,
so,
he was a very good character actor in this episode.
In this episode, yeah, he has, like, mega Ken doll hair.
Oh, the best.
It's, like, it's blonde. It's in, like, that Ken doll shape.
There
like,
are
just
no
left of...
spaces.
Yeah,
no.
It's very formed.
It is so formed.
Yeah. It's almost like it's, like, a snap-on plastic doll hair.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Like, there's a hole
it's
in
like
his
a Mr.
head.
Potato
it
just,
doesn't
yeah,
move.
Mr. Potato
yeah.
Head hair. And it just snips right in.
Yeah.
So Blanche goes to him, and she's like, you know, my teacher sexually harassed me. And he's like, okay, great. Let's,
And he pulls out a file on what sexual harassment
is. A form.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So... He pulls out this form, and it has, like, very explicit sexually, like, things written on it, because he's, like, looking at it. He's like, oh, I can't ask you this. Like, I can't even ask my wife this.
Yeah.
But is that what a sexual harassment form
oh, I'm sure.
looks like?
I'm sure.
But that, oh,
yeah.
Also, how weird was it? So he opens the drawer, and they're all, he's like, he had all those files and they all started with sex.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah, it was like sexual education, sexual alphabetized. Yeah, but it was just like he had all these like sex forms in his drawer. It was so
But like, is that what you would fill out? It would say like,
I think so.
What did your teacher, you know, ask you to do with him? Was it one, anal? Two,
I mean, I've like, seen forms like that and things like that. And
When do you involve the authorities?
I thought you would have to, like, write it down yourself. Like, basically, like, taking a statement.
Right. Well, there's probably, like, terminology that they need you to, legal terminology that they need you to use in describing the situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
But ultimately, he tells Blanche, he's like, look, basically, it's your word against his, so I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. A man's career is at stake. And she's like, which I'm like, whoa, guys.
Yeah. Now, she has a lot of really funny sort of, like, puns with, not really puns, but, like, the way she uses sort of, so they listed off, like, the, I don't even know what 7B is. And then she was like, I do know what 7B is, and you can go do it to yourself.
Yeah.
And she walks out.
Which I'm so curious to know, like, what can he do?
What
is 7B? Well, see, that's where my mind goes, but then I was like, I bet it's like a finger up the butt or something. I don't know. Which I guess is... What? No, I'm sick. Leave me alone. So...
they're back at the house.
So
Blanche gets home, and Rose is in the kitchen as well, and Blanche says, I have to tell you about today, and she's like, well, after I tell you about my day. And Rose goes over this whole long story about how she was listening to the radio, but she keeps two dimes in the doorway to make a phone call just in case of an emergency, and then they're gonna give tickets to the Frank Sinatra show. And so she pulls over and she makes the call, and then she's the 12th caller because it's her lucky number, and then she gets tickets to the Frank Sinatra show. And
Blanche is like, okay, great, now it's time to tell my story. And then Dorothy comes in and she was like, I got three scalp tickets from a child. Which I'm like, that's horrible, like, it's so illegal. She got tickets from a child and also like told a woman she was dying to get them.
Yeah, she's hard.
Fine. So
she's street.
I guess. So Blanche is still trying to tell her story. Sophia comes in. She got tickets because she called Frank Sinatra. No, Frank Ariachi from the fish market. He knows Frank Dottorti. Who knows Frank Sinatra? Da da da. No, Nancy Sinatra. This whole thing. It's a really funny thing. Tina Sinatra. It's a runner.
She basically says, "I'm never going to be able to tell you my story." And everyone's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." She's like, "No, you guys gave me. I think I know what I'm going to do. Jamie had a really good observation. She talks about how she's gonna study for this test. She's gonna get an A on that test. She's gonna show him with her smarts. And then they do a cutaway shot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole it was just like the most awkward editing. Yeah. Like basically she gives a speech and then it cuts to I believe Dorothy and Rose.
Yeah.
And they're just like they had just have this like dumb dog look on their face. But it wasn't intentional. It clearly was like they didn't know the camera was on them.
Yep.
It was like the worst sitcom.
Yeah, it was like not well planned.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I must have missed that moment. I'm bummed.
So Blanche is in back, she's just finishing the test.
Yes,
in the
she's the only person left in the classroom, which means either it took her the longest to finish it or they didn't have enough money to pay for day two of extra.
Oh, wait, one thing
they
I was
had
gonna,
enough money. It was a hit.
One thing I was going to say that I love about, like, sitcom fights or tension is that I wish real life was like sitcoms and that, like, you know how, like, everyone was telling their story and she, like, was, like, needed to talk about her sexual harassment situation, which is so much more important than Frank Sinatra tickets, and they weren't letting her talk, and, like, in real life, you'd be like, how insensitive are you? I literally was sexually harassed, and you're going on about your tickets? Mm-hmm. Like, you might consider, like, not being friends with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that, but instead she's like, no, I don't want it. And then she's like, oh, okay, well, actually. And it's just like, it's amazing. I'm like, I want my life to be that way. The sitcom drama is so quick.
Yeah.
And then it's over. It's amazing.
You know, I was talking something similar to that the other day, where we were, there was this sort of, like, the response rate on new shows, on like Modern Family and all these shows, they're so quick and they're just talking so fast.
Yeah,
there's no pauses and there's nothing. It's just fast. And on these shows, of course, there's pauses because there's audience laughter and they're waiting for the people to get a laugh and the bit. And in real life, if you think about it, it's kind of like that. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
You know, you do have that pause where you're laughing and you stop talking about something for a second, and then you go back into it.
Yeah.
It almost feels more relatable.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the pacing is definitely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, except for certain moments, like when they get a famous guest star, like when, if you actually, I think I'm sure there are videos out there, like Burt Reynolds comes to their door, and I mean, the audience is screaming for, I'm not kidding, it's probably 45 seconds. So Burt Reynolds is standing in their doorway, nobody's speaking for 45 seconds, right. Basically, I mean, what you're saying. And he's just, like, doing that thing where, like, he's chewing his gum.
If Burt Reynolds,
like,
came to your door, you'd probably be weight. Like, oh, okay. Silence.
Maybe. So Blanche finishes her test. She gives it to
and
her
teacher.
The teacher
is all like, I'm gonna fuck you now.
Yeah, he's like, you know, if you don't pass, this and that.
With his,
and,
like, mint cable knit sweater. He's, like, mm-hmm. so gross.
And
he's
she,
gross.
Of course, is in this beautiful sort of, like, yellow poncho coat.
Yeah, she wore a lot of yellow in this episode.
A lot of yellow. It's a centering color, yellow mm-hmm. and green, right? Yep. Who said that? Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell talks about yellow a lot on mm-hmm. her Instagram because it's calming.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So she's basically like, you know, look, I thought about everything that you said, and I thought about what kind of person I am, and, you know, I just really wanted to pass this test, and every time I thought about giving up, I'd think about you being a creepy guy, and so I decided I'm going to get an A. Mm-hmm. And so she stands up, and she gives him the test, and she gives him a little bit more of, like, her speech, and then she says, and you, sir, can kiss my A. So great.
Amazing. So they're back at the house now, and Blanche is there, and she's just satisfied with herself and sitting on the couch, and then all the girls walk in. And it turns out they didn't go to the Frank Sinatra concert. They went to jail.
Yes.
Because they got caught.
Which is not the first time the girls will go to jail.
No, that episode's coming up and it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's really good. The one where they get arrested for being prostitutes.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
The Burt Reynolds one.
Oh, that is the Burt Reynolds one. Wow. Yeah, I think it's this season. No, it's next season.
No, it's not this season.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But Dorothy has a great line where she's like, I did time at Attica.
Attica's a men's prison.
What? It took them 3 months to figure out.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were in jail because Dorothy tried to scalp the remaining tickets because now they had so many because so many of the girls got them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is like a really good lesson. Don't scalp tickets. And also, Rose, I mean, they're all dressed for, you know, Frank Sinatra, so,
yeah.
Rose is wearing this pink dress. Is it, like,
scalloped
edges?
Which she wears in a, I remembered where she wore it, so she wears it in a dress, or on a date with Miles later on in the series.
Yeah, okay.
I remember thinking,
it's a special,
like,
occasion dress.
Special occasion dress.
Right, right.
And Dorothy, her outfit is used many times throughout the series.
I mean, that is a bold, that's a bold repeat, though.
Yeah.
It's so visually distinctive.
I mean,
it's the green, gold, purple.
Yeah.
Flowy silk thing.
I feel like we've even seen it wondering. This season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the first season. Yes, we've seen it multiple times this season.
But and it comes up more in later seasons, I feel like, too. What's interesting about it, though, is, like, it is a bold, it's a bold statement, but the thing is like I've said this before, that they, this outfit was worn, like, with us, it was worn a couple episodes ago.
Right.
But back then, it was worn 3 months ago, because that's when someone last saw that episode.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't repeated. They couldn't watch it on
God.
TV.
They couldn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, mind blown,
that
right?
That is mind blowing.
It's amazing. So, like, when we binge watch these things, we're thinking, like, oh, God, that's not consistent, not consistent. But it's like, they didn't need to be consistent, because no one would fucking remember.
No.
Yeah. Wow. Except for, you know, me.
Except for us, many years later.
Yeah.
So we learn, Blanche, we find out Blanche passes her test, but then she finds out that the position at the museum has been filled by another woman who basically spent the same amount of money that Blanche spent on the class, and this woman spent it getting, like, a tummy tuck and a butt lift or something.
Money well spent.
Yeah, money, sure.
I'm getting my armpits Botoxed.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Is it for sweat?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it working?
I haven't done it yet.
Oh.
But I'm going to do it.
I almost got it in the back of my head for headaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, you get Botox for really bad headaches.
Wow.
In the back of your head.
Oh, that's
I'm all about plastic surgery.
I want to try Botox.
Yeah, let's do it. You can come with. It's pretty affordable.
Yeah, it is affordable.
Yeah, you should definitely do it before the wedding.
Yeah.
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 That way you won't sweat at all.
Right. That's a great idea.
Walking around being like, I don't know what he's wearing.
Right.
You know Hillary Clinton doesn't sweat?
What?
Doesn't sweat.
How does she get rid of, like...
That's what people tell. Like, people say, like, one of the things they always notice about her is, like, even when she's out campaigning, sunny, everything, doesn't sweat. Like, she physically does not sweat.
But she'd have to, because that's, like, your body sweating out.
We just don't see it.
Okay. Okay, we don't see it, sure.
Yeah.
That
doesn't have anything. Maybe she does it, like, through her saliva.
Maybe she's, like, a low back sweater.
Like a dog.
And she's just always wearing so much layering of clothing that you wouldn't notice.
Ass sweats.
Of all the sweats.
Do you ever do it in New York? This is totally off topic, but men are always very conscious of ass sweat, and I feel like especially gay men. And on the subway, when you're sitting, you never want to have that swamp ass implant on the seat. So like I would always do during the summertime in New York, I would like slide out of my seat. Just so I wouldn't have
He would take it with you.
Yeah, to wipe up my sweat.
No, that's very considerate of you.
I just didn't want to have someone be like, that guy.
Yeah. No, that's very, well, it's also considerate, so more people won't sit on it and just think, like, oh, it might be rainwater. So, can we talk about the, I mean, I'm not saying that you, like, sweat rainwater, but one of the final lines of the episode, and I feel like it's a really, really good lesson. Wait.
Also, I think it's cool that they were having, they were doing butt lifts in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't, I thought that was like a newer thing.
No, apparently, well, I mean, yeah, you can, I guess they had advanced techniques in the 80s.
Yeah, I feel like a butt lift, because isn't the Brazilian butt lift, maybe that's like the new version.
Oh, it's
maybe
like a less invasive version.
Maybe, yeah. Okay,
because her butt was probably
I just, when I heard that, I was like, I feel like back then, like, plastic surgery was like a facelift. Yeah. Like, I feel like that was like.
Katie Arthur got one.
Did she?
Totally changed her face. Look at her from Maude to then.
Like, in a bad way or in a good
way? No, in a good way.
Really?
Looks totally different. Yeah. I mean, I think she looks totally different from Maude to older
for sure.
Girls.
Oh, for sure.
Just do comparison shots and you'll see. It was a really, really, really good facelift.
Oh, Yeah. I mean, that's so terrifying.
Yeah.
To know that you're getting a good one.
I want to take care of this area.
Really?
Right above my
eyes. I feel like that is so easy to fix.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, just put it in that.
I feel like that's easy to fix because... Yeah,
so you should see where you're pointing because this is a podcast.
I'm pointing to my... So that there's this weird flappy area between my Adam's apple and my chin.
They call that the turkey...
Is it a turkey gobble?
Right? Yeah.
It's not quite a gobble. It's not quite a gobble, but it's like a... I just want it
that's
more
the
defined.
Area.
You know? Yeah. I just want it pushed up a little bit.
I have some exercise.
Oh, really? That's Judy. Judy's a friend of Carrie's in from New York. She works for Entertainment Weekly and she's hilarious.
Yes. She's wonderful.
And she's petting my cat.
Okay, so Blanche, what did she say? Oh,
so Blanche isn't upset about not getting the promotion because, you know, eventually she will get the promotion and that woman's ass will still sag.
Well, yeah, no, she says one day her butt will turn to mush, but I'll always have my degree.
Yeah.
Which is true. Plastic surgery isn't always forever.
Yeah.
And that is our episode.
That was the episode. It was a good one.
Really good episode.
I love strong Blanche episodes.
And there's a lot of positive messages in there.
Really, and that gets us to a really great thing that we do on every podcast, which is called the Golden Takeaway.
So
it's a moment or a nugget of some brilliance that you can either apply to your life or to others, like a piece of advice or something. We'll start off so you have it.
Okay, cool.
But it's just a Golden Takeaway. So my Golden Takeaway from this episode is I really, like, I can't wear baggy clothes because... my frame is like very square and larger and it just makes me look even heavier, but I really, really want to wear baggy clothes. So my golden takeaway is maybe I should embrace that and not worry about what others think and just wear my baggy clothes.
Yeah. I think that's a good takeaway.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like we need like a flute.
Like a
truth
stick.
Oh yeah, pass the truth stick. We should have some kind of something that we're passing around.
What's your golden
takeaway? I think my takeaway is always eat Jell-O in a wine glass. It just fancies it up a little bit, you know, and always put whipped cream on top of it if you're not, you know, lactose intolerant.
I'm not
whipped
cream.
So that's fine. But yeah, but do Jell-O and pudding in wine glasses. It's like a fun, whimsical way to eat it.
It's true.
With a long spoon.
Anytime you have like themed glassware for something, it's really cool. Like tea, I make tea and I have these cute little teacups and saucers that I use.
See?
And it's like a whole system that I have and it's just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My golden takeaway is similar to your golden takeaway in that I just really miss like 1980s and early 1990s diets. I just miss that. I miss low fat, calorie counting, putting literally like chemicals into your body, but because it says on the label like sugar free, fat free, like a snack well brownie. I just miss those days. Now we're in this like paleo, whole food. Yeah. It's so exhausting. Mm-hmm. I just want to go back to doing math.
Yes.
I thought you were saying math.
Yes.
I just want to go back to doing math.
The lack of math makes me want to do math.
You know, I still live by math. There's a MyFitnessPal.
I know they have apps. I know.
I use it and it's really great. It even has a scanner on it, so I scan how much I'm eating.
Really?
Like I scan the barcodes on foods and it puts how much I'm eating into things and it coordinates with my Fitbit and it's great.
Wow. Sweet. Yeah. That's great. I know that there are ways to count calories still. I just miss the days when that was what you... when those types of products were what you bought to lose weight.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
Like, you buy the Weight Watchers bread. You buy the...
Yeah, you believe in saturated fats are bad. Yes. You watch your... like, everything. Now it's just... whatever it was then, you just do the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, coconut oil is bad. Oh, no. Like, now it's the best.
Yeah.
You should be having it every day. It's just... Yeah. I hate this, like...
I like coconut oil. I use it on my hair.
Yeah, we know what good fats are.
Yeah.
I miss that there's no such thing as good fat. It's just no fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to actually do that, but it was just, like, such a cool way to live.
Yeah.
Like, eating Jell-O, because it's, like, no calories, but it's, like, all toxic
crap. Like science. You're eating science.
You're eating science.
Yeah.
But it's colorful science.
It's fun
and
science.
And you think you're, like, doing great for yourself. Like, that's such a... I just miss the delusion.
That's how I am with McDonald's ice cream cones. Sometimes, like, after a hard day, I'll just go get a soft serve from McDonald's, and it just makes me so fucking happy. And it's like, I know I'm licking science. I know there's a lot of chemicals in this, but it's just delicious.
Also, there was a moment in the episode where...
calories.
Oh, well, great. There was a moment where Blanche... She came to some kind of conclusion. She's like, I'm going to reward myself with an ice cream sundae.
Yeah.
And that's such a funny thing, too. It's like a sundae.
Yeah.
You're going to straight up make, like, you're not just getting, like, a little bit of ice cream. You're straight up, like, creating, like, scoops with, like, toppings and whip. It's like, that's such a, like, what a freeing time.
And
women were just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to reward myself with a sundae.
We could do it. We should bring it back.
I would love
we have to go.
It.
Yes. Okay, so, guys...
This was so fun.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, my God. Thanks for having
me. You are the best. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can follow me on Twitter at @TheJamieLee, and my Instagram is at @ReallyJamieLee.
Woohoo!
And Girl Code. Girl Code's on right now,
yeah.
Right?
Girl Code's on right now, I think. It airs kind of all the time.
Okay.
And then we're about to go into the fourth season. We're shooting fourth
Sweet.
Season.
Yay.
Yeah,
exciting. Well, thank you so much for doing
this. Thanks for having me,
love
you guys.
It. I'm H. Allen Scott. You can follow me at H. Allen Scott on everything.
And I'm Carrie Doherty at Squid Eat Squid on Twitter and Squidzy on Instagram.
And you can go to outonthelanai.com for all kinds of Golden Girls fun and our Facebook page.
And you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us fun comments and
And we're coming
ratings.
Up on the very end of season one, so for a special Golden recap, we want to hear from you guys about what you think we should do for a Golden Memories.
Yeah, we
want
to do like a special end of season one episode. So yeah, send us your ideas.
And it might even include me getting a Golden Girls tattoo on my left arm, which is in the works. It's in the works, yes. Design's made, tattoo artist has been chosen, so it just needs to be figured out.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes. So thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Miami.